and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. Donald Trump is not only taking on Kamala Harris, he's also attacking former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, a Republican who supports Harris. He spoke during an interview with commentator Tucker Carlson in Glendale, Arizona.
She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with nine barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
Kamala Harris concentrated on the issues in Las Vegas.
A Trump sales tax, the economists say, would cost the average family an extra $4,000 a year. And on top of that, Donald Trump still is trying to get rid of the Affordable Care Act.
The presidential race, of course, is neck and neck. And as CBS's Scott McFarlane reports, several close congressional races will likely decide whether the House goes Democrat or stays Republican.
U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson campaigned for New York Republicans about an hour north of New York City.
The majority for the House runs through New York and California.
Trying to salvage his perilous 8-seat House majority. All 435 U.S. House seats are up for election next week, but CBS News estimates only a few dozen are considered competitive. Nearly a third of those are concentrated in California and New York.
Orlando police say they've arrested a 17-year-old man responsible for this.
At this time, we're aware of 8 total victims. 2 are now deceased. 6 other individuals who were shot were transported to ORMC for further treatment. Those victims are currently in stable condition.
Police Chief Eric Smith says the shootings happened early this morning in downtown Orlando's entertainment district. No word on the accused gunman's motive. The crime scene is just a couple of miles from the former Pulse nightclub, where a gunman killed 49 people just over 8 years ago. U.S. and South Korean officials say thousands of North Korean troops are near the Ukraine border in Russia. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin says they're preparing to join the fight against Ukraine. CBS's Charlie Daggett at the Pentagon.
Is this just 10,000 troops or the first 10,000 troops? Because one thing North Korea has got plenty of is manpower. 1.2 million in a standing army. That's the second largest army in the world.
It's parade day in Los Angeles as the city celebrates the Dodgers World Series championship. L.A. Mayor Karen Bass says it comes just days after the death of a Dodger legend who would have turned 64 today.
L.A. is ready to celebrate, and what a better day to do that than Fernando Valenzuela's birthday.
Ahead of the opening bell, S&P futures are up 17 and a quarter, and Dow futures are up 99. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The Bucks losing streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks won their season opener in Philadelphia. Since then, they've lost 4 in a row, this time in Memphis, to the Grizzlies, 122-99. So what do they need to do to get out of this slump? Brooke Lopez.
We need a little energy, someone to wake us up, yell at us, pick us up, whatever it is. We're going to figure this out eventually, you know? We're going to be a different team in March.
The Bucks host the Cavaliers tomorrow night. College football, the Badgers on the road tomorrow night against the Hawkeyes. Kickoff at 6:30. Iowa favored by 3 points. NFL, the Packers host the Lions Sunday. Jordan Love dealing with that groin injury. Safety, Xavier McKinney, who leads the league in interceptions, named the NFC Defensive Player of the Month, Coach Jeff Hafley.
When you play good defense together and you have success and you win games, guys are going to get rewarded, and he deserves to be rewarded. He, in my opinion, is the best safety in the NFL.
That's the Packers defensive coordinator, Jeff Hafley, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Holiday movie season is about to kick off, and there are two big films to be released in the next couple weeks. And theater owners and studio executives are hoping they crush the gate. It's not quite Barbenheimer, but Gladiator 2 and Wicked both open November 22nd, and cumulatively are estimated to pull in almost $150 million to help kick off the holiday box office. Hopefully these films match the amount of buzz and hype that is brewing throughout Hollywood. A Hollywood actor is headed to prison for 12 months and a day for his part in the January 6th insurrection in 2021. Actor Jay Johnston has appeared in shows like Bob's Burgers, Parks and Rec, Arrested Development, and the critically acclaimed Mr. Show. According to NBC News, the actor, who was also in Anchorman and Men in Black 2, pleaded guilty to obstructing officers during civil disorder. According to Variety, the actor stole a police shield to help make a wall against police and pinned an officer against a doorframe and was arrested a month later. Tough way to get a new headshot. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 50 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 38. Tomorrow, sunshine, 58. And then we have more rain and some thunderstorms on the way Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we'll be live from Fox City Stadium, the home of the Timber Rattlers, a Tracy Olson of the Lincoln Project, your calls and more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitloh.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. It's 6:06 on this Friday morning, November 1st. Good morning. 4 days until Election Day. It's another beautiful but cold morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or on the Civic Media app, or by podcast, or watching us on Facebook or YouTube. Thanks for starting your day right here. I got a question for you. How many of these have you got lying around the house? Little tiny candy bar wrappers. This one would be Kit Kat. And I got news for you. It's not the only one. It's just the one I have for a visual aid here. I hope everybody had a good Halloween. Depending on where you live and what your weather was like, if you're like us, you have a lot of Halloween candy left because there weren't many people braving the conditions just to get some candy. But we'll carry on because now the calendar is flipped. It's November. It's almost Election Day. Coming up this morning, in just a few minutes actually, we're going to hear from Minnesota First Lady Gwen Walsh. She's going to call in and talk about her travels across the country as her husband runs for vice president. We're going to talk about what makes her great-grandma's cookie recipe so popular, because we can't just talk about politics. We'll talk to Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil. He talks about the widening gap between the unity themes sounded by Kamala Harris and the darker rhetoric of Donald Trump. We'll also talk about their dueling rallies tonight in Milwaukee, just a few miles apart. So big crowds in two parts of Milwaukee this evening, depending on the presidential candidate that folks there support. We'll also remind folks not to let any long lines at the polls or late night vote counts discourage anyone from voting and having confidence in the results. You know, we've got the former president calling our country a garbage can and threatening to jail his critics. And his Speaker of the House called again this week for taking health care away from millions of Americans. But the national media has spent the week going after President Biden for a snide remark about a trash-talking comedian. So we'll talk to Mark Jacob about this week's press coverage. Also, what's next on Donald Trump's legal calendar if he loses next week and can't rely on presidential pardon power to be a potential get-out-of-jail-free card? We'll ask former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about that. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports. We'll talk to Brittany Merlot about her weekend forecast. That is all coming up, along with any input from you along the way, by phone or by text at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, or call us or text us through the Civic Media app, or leave a comment on Facebook or YouTube. You can send us an email as well, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Bus stop temperatures at 6 a.m. are not kind. As mentioned before, yesterday they were 20 to 30 degrees cooler than the day before. And they are 20 degrees colder than yesterday right now. It's 30 degrees here in Chippewa Falls, 28 in Hayward, 35 in Wausau, 35 in La Crosse. Amory is at 29. Wisconsin Rapids, 32 right now. Green Bay, 38. Madison, 36. Waukesha, 36. And at Racine's Radio Park, it's 42 degrees, where we welcome in one Greg Bach, who is not letting these temperatures get to him at all. He's got the Brew Crew t-shirt, or is that the costume from last night by chance? Did you go as a ball player?
No, I did not. I went as the guy who stayed inside, turned his lights off, and didn't hand out candy. It was really, really windy and blustery, and mm-hmm. Honestly, I don't know if we got anybody at our door. Like,
our
ring didn't even, like, register anybody.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We got, same as Roger here posting on Facebook. He says, I have 5 mini Kit Kat wrappers lying around from last night and only had 4 trick-or-treaters, and we as well only had 4 trick-or-treaters, and Roger, again, I have more than just this one Kit Kat wrapper lying around. There's going to be a few more of those. What is happening at the Laughing Tap this first weekend of November?
Oh, well, we have Dan Donahue here for 4 shows, 2 shows tonight, 2 shows tomorrow, 7:30 and 10 o'clock. You can find your tickets at laughingtap.com. They are available right now, $22 online, $25 at the door. No drink minimums, but yeah, we have 4 shows happening, so that's going to be lots of chances to see comedy.
Yeah, and good service, and mm-hmm. good folks on, I call it the undercard. What do you call it there, though? I don't want to say, they're not warm-up acts. We don't want to disparage them that way.
We call them the openers. They're the openers.
The openers, thank you. So, I couldn't come up with the right word here.
So we'll have a host. I believe it's going to be Elijah Holbrook. Claire Sunby is going to be the feature, and then Dan will be headlining the night and closing it out. So, okay. 4 chances right. this weekend. And you said it was 42 degrees in Radio Park right now?
So said the National Weather
and
Service.
And that's just the warmest. So right now it's... Oh, there we go. Wait, hold on. Hot in the city, baby. 42 degrees. All right. I went a long way for that joke. Sorry, everybody. I apologize.
No. It's okay. You go for the payoff.
Yeah, exactly.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I may have to change my mind on candy corn. I'm going to close Halloween commentary with this. I think candy corn's the worst. I don't like it one bit. And then somebody, I don't remember where I heard it, one of the TikTok videos or something, I don't know, maybe it was on TV, said, no, you have some candy corn with some peanuts, and it tastes like a payday bar. And I love payday bars. So I got to rethink this whole thing. It's candy corn.
Or you can just buy a payday bar.
I could, but I'm saying I still have, somebody brought me candy corn for my birthday. They brought a little jar, and they went to a candy store, and they thought I would like some candy. And they got candy corn, and I didn't have the heart to tell them, well, this is just going to harden into a doorstop at some point.
I don't think they like you.
I kind of want, well.
I don't think they're a friend.
They were neighbors.
Okay.
I don't hold it against them. They may not be regular listeners to the morning radio show. So, but yeah, I'll have to rethink that after we go through the bucket of Kit Kat bars. Priorities, people.
Now, priorities. Okay. Question for you.
Yes.
When it comes to candy, both handing out and preferred, do you prefer a chocolatey treat, or are you good with, like, you know, Skittles and sweet tarts and things like that?
Oh, I don't mind that for Halloween, for the variety. I wouldn't normally pick it up, and so a little variety on Halloween would be okay, because, you know, I mean, even with chocolate, you could have too much of a good thing. If you had nothing but chocolate in your goodie bag, you know, you need something to break it up now and then. I mean, if I'm going to have 4 old fashions, I got to have a margarita somewhere in there, you know, just a palate cleanser.
My
extreme example, and not at all indicative of what happens at the Kreitlow household. At least 6 nights a week anyway.
Wow.
Let's jump into the headlines here, because we're going to be talking to First Lady Gwen Walls from Minnesota coming up in just a moment here. But yes, as we mentioned before, it will be a busy night in Milwaukee as the folks who are either big Kamala Harris supporters or big Donald Trump supporters gather for Harris at State Fair Park and for Trump at Fiserv Forum. You won't really find undecided voters in there, I don't think. These are basically parties for the base. And we talked about this yesterday. Why are you doing that at this point? Because, I mean, these folks already voted. The people going tonight either voted or they're definitely going to vote. It's a matter of getting them motivated to talk to their friends and family and get them to cast a vote. Today in many communities is the last day of early in-person absentee voting. Some communities will do it Saturday. Some will go into Sunday, which is the last day you can do it. But not all communities do. So you could still vote early today in many places. Head right to the Wisconsin Elections Commission website, myvote.wi.gov, and learn more about early voting in your community. Have to say, though, that the Republicans continue to try to fool undecided voters or moderate voters or independent voters, try to fool them into voting for grifter Jill Stein, who claims to be from the Green Party, but the Green Party is not a thing. If the Green Party were a thing, they'd be running local candidates, and they would have been a force in local races and state legislative races. They exist just for once every 4 years to be spoilers to Democrats. And a group with strong Republican ties is sending out mailers and paying for digital ads and robocalls. And the story in the Journal Sentinel says it's all about urging Wisconsin residents to reject Kamala Harris and vote instead for perennial candidate Jill Stein. The messages come from a PAC called Badger Values PAC. Badger Values PAC, not based in the Badger State, based in Houston, Texas. And they have spent at least $1.5 million since October 18th. Does this make a difference? Oh, you bet. You betcha. In 2016, Hillary Clinton lost Wisconsin to Donald Trump by 22,000 votes because 31,000 votes essentially benefited Trump by way of Jill Stein. And the same could be said in Michigan, and the same could be said in Pennsylvania. Remember, in 2016, Hillary Clinton beat Donald Trump by 2.9 million votes, but lost the election because of 78,000 votes across three states, including Wisconsin. So if you were going to flip half of that to make a difference, you're talking about flipping 39,000 voters across three states. Out of all the votes cast in the country, that's 0.03%. So do not for a moment let anybody get away with the thought that their vote doesn't count, because there are just enough people that could have added up to that 39,000 extra votes in 2016 and saved us from the 8 years that we've had to endure with Donald Trump on the national stage, trashing our country, trashing our economy, threatening to jail political opponents, threatening to terminate the Constitution, and on it goes. He's been dividing this country for far too long. Latest example, go to the New York Times, look for the write-up on Algoma. Algoma's a lovely little place on Lake Michigan. It's one of two dozen towns in the state where the 2020 election was decided by fewer than 25 votes in each community. But the neighbors there are practically at each other's throats in some instances because of the continued division of Donald Trump. And that could finally come to an end next week. Minnesota First Lady Gwen Walls tells us all about that and more in a conversation that's coming up next. If you're listening to us from anywhere across Wisconsin or beyond through the Civic Media app on this Friday morning, just keep in mind when you're here, you're up north, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlum.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? One out of nine Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture. They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You're listening to Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK.
And now I am joined by the First Lady of the State of Minnesota, Gwen Walls. Gwen, good morning. Thank you for joining us on Up North News Radio. How are you?
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm great. And I'll tell you, there's so many people out here energized, excited, ready to go. People from across the country actually are in Georgia volunteering, just like they are in Wisconsin, to try to get this ticket over the finish line.
And this is not really something, this part of the traveling is not something new to you, because your husband's congressional district was not one of those little compact urban districts, was it?
No, it wasn't. It really, it generally was from South Dakota to the Wisconsin border along the Iowa border. So it was from one end of the state to the other, kind of the lower piece of Minnesota.
You know, in terms of representing that district, your husband worked on, I think, several different farm bills while he was in Congress. And we talk about that a lot, because in the 3rd District, formerly Ron Kind's district, Derek Van Orden hasn't exactly made a lot of progress, even as a member of the House Ag Committee. And yet your husband did in what had been a heavily Republican district. What was it that he was doing differently that maybe Congress needs to get back to get this farm bill back on track? What was his experience like working on farm bills?
Well, absolutely. And Tim was a proud member of the Ag Committee for 12 years, the entire time he was in Congress. And so I got to know the issues of the farm bill, and I guess I wasn't great on egg futures, but I did work on the nutrition programs and school lunches and all of the many things that are in that farm bill that are crucial to this country. And the fact that we do not have a farm bill passed is just, that is criminal, because we know that Wisconsin farmers are the backbone of that state. And to not get that farm bill out of there is bad for everybody. Now, I think Tim would say this, that if you think you're going to get your own way all the time, then that's not going to work out for you very well on a farm bill. But if you can work together and compromise and listen to other states and other people and come together on that, then you're going to get a good farm bill, and you're going to get across the line, because they did every single time.
There's another piece of the farm bill that I know your husband got a lot of attention for, the nutrition programs that are on there and school lunches. And can you talk about the decision to make school meals free in Minnesota and how you dealt with pushback from folks? Tell us about the values that informed that.
Well, you know, if you look at both Tim and Kamala's record and all the different things they've done, they fought for the middle class, and they are able at times to get that win, 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 win. And that's what free school lunches are. You know who wins with free school lunches? Of course the kids do. And of course it benefits teachers, but the people in your state, because hungry kids cannot learn well. So if we want them to achieve academic goals and be ready to learn to read or whatever it is, let's make sure that they have that. But you know some other real winners in free school lunches and breakfast? Farmers. Where do you think that food comes from? And let's get them the best quality food. Let's get that those dairy products from Wisconsin to those schools. That's who wins also. Farmers. Everybody wins. It's a smart economic investment. There's a difference between spending and investing. And school lunches and preschool lunches and preschool breakfast, that's investment. It's investment in all of us and in the outcomes we want. So let's get it. Let's get done what we need to get done for the goal. And let's not quibble about how we get there. It's a good idea to feed children. It's a good idea to have farm produce and use all of our local resources as well as, you know, our national resources for the goals that we accomplish. We have more food in this country than we know what to do with. Let's feed people.
There's so many issues that we could touch on if we had more time. The way that you've spoken out in favor of reproductive rights and IVF and gun safety and education. So I guess what I'd like to make time for before we wrap up here is the importance of educators embracing civic engagement. And we've talked about this with doctors. We've talked about this with other groups, that people that maybe normally shied away from politics and are now feeling more duty bound to speak up, but not all of them. Some of them still kind of wrestle with this. What do you say about the importance of educators ramping up their civic engagement in some form or another?
Your voice is your vote. Your vote is your voice, right? That's how you make known what's important. And if we could encourage everyone to vote, because certainly there are issues that you care about, whether it be, you know, having a farm bill in Congress or reproductive freedom, or kitchen table issues like purchasing a home, or rural issues like, you know, the access to medical care or whatever it might be, use your own voice and do that through your vote. And educators, you know, we're used to talking about ways to do that and why you do that and what's important about that. And so educators are very good at doing that and becoming involved in civic engagement. But I would broaden that to anyone who's willing to go vote. That's civic engagement. That's important. That's participation in democracy. Gus just turned 18 and got to vote for the first time. And Tim and I were so excited to vote with him because as parents, we just want to stress how important it is that he always votes, you know, and to start him off on that right track of making his voice heard is so important. And then if I could just take the liberty of mentioning how much I appreciate having such good neighbors in Minnesota as we do in Wisconsin. Each time I've been in your state, which has been a lot recently, but even before that, I've been in Wisconsin a lot. And the people of Wisconsin are such good neighbors and good people. And so I just want to thank you, especially during this time, for being such great neighbors, good friends, and caring about the issues in that good Midwestern logical way. I think there's so much that we can do together.
Oh, there's still some Midwestern nice out there, which I learned in a story about you about the cookies that you sometimes bring to functions. So I will close with that. You say it's a recipe that was handed down from your great grandmother. So we've got to know what is so special about that recipe.
Well, they're made with love and they're rolled in sugar three times. How about that?
That's exactly how you know they're made with love, is the rolling in sugar temp. I'd love it.
I have 20 dozen with me right now. 20 dozen with me right now in Georgia. I do want to bring, you know, in the Midwest, we like to bring a little bit of our house to your house. That's how we do it. You know, we're potluck dinner people.
Gwen Walls, you've been very generous with your time. Thank you so much for joining us. Safe travels to you. And I hope we get another chance to visit soon.
Oh, me too. Thank you for taking time. And thank you, Wisconsin, and all neighbors and friends. Thanks so much.
Back after this, you're up north.
A new choice, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, 540 WAUK. Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The H5N1 virus still making agriculture headlines. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a finally Friday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. California dairy producers are still being challenged by that virus. We'll get an update next.
Tired of climbing ladders that constantly check grain bin levels? Mechanical level indicators failing often? Radar level technology from Bitmast Automation provides continuous, reliable level measurement you can depend on. Coupling radar sensors with a touchscreen control from Bitmask provides real-time visual indication of level with options for remote access, stack lights, and integration into a fully automated grain system. No more tossing rocks, climbing ladders, or keeping a raggedy old notebook for tracking grain levels. Bitmast Automation has the practical solutions for you. Learn more at automatemyfarm.com.
Detection rates are still very high in California's dairy population. That's according to Katie Burgess, dairy analyst with EverEgg. She said the break that California dairymen have gotten lately is a change in the weather.
They say that now the herds that are being impacted, as the weather's cooled off, it's not as dramatic anymore. But, I mean, still a big worry factor is you don't want to see your cows getting sick. So we do believe milk production is down out there, monitoring that situation carefully. And then just yesterday, USDA came out with some new guidance that they're going to start testing bulk tanks or testing milk samples. So we don't have too many details about that as of yet, but it does seem like the USDA is trying to take a next step to really understand this a little bit better.
Katie Burgess, broker analyst with EverEgg, on what's happening with H5N1 in California and potentially more testing from USDA. We'll keep you posted. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
On Thursday, the barrel cheese dropped 6.5 cents down to 186. 40-pound block cheese lost a nickel to 184, while AA butter gained a quarter of a cent to 270 and three quarters per pound. This morning, November Class 3 milk that goes into cheese up 3 at 2015. December's up 19, 1965. Meanwhile, December corn is up 2, currently at 413. November soybeans are up a dime at 993. December wheat, 3 cents higher at 573, with July new crop wheat up a penny at 608. So just a quick snapshot on where the numbers stand, rolling into a Friday trade session. More news anytime you need it. Pop in at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yankee.
Have you ever loved?
Reserve your tickets today for Blues, Brews, and Barbecue. Go to FishOnMarinette.com to learn more.
It is going to be mostly sunny today. Our high right around 50 this afternoon. The wind will be out of the north at 5 to 15. Tonight, mostly clear, 38. Tomorrow, sunshine, 58. And then we have more rain and some thunderstorms on the way Sunday, Monday into Tuesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 35.
Get your tickets today for the premier fall event, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues in Marinette, Wisconsin. Featuring 6 elite barbecue chefs, award-winning craft beer, and 2 iconic blues musicians. Kicking off the night, Hall of Fame inductee Joe Moss. Following Joe Taranzo Cannon. Playing tunes from his current number one album, Shut Up and Play. November 2nd at the Community Rec, Blues, Brews, and Barbecues. Go to fishonmarinette.com and click on the pig for more information.
Supported by Travel Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish.
Experience.
Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel joins me. We will discuss the Wisconsin amendment to the Constitution. What does it mean? How should we vote? And we'll preview the probable lawsuits after the election. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
All right, we're back on this Friday morning on Up North News Radio and talking to Kia Vakil, Courier Newsroom's national correspondent. He's reporting to us from Shohei Land or Ohtaniville or whatever you want to call it, where the Dodgers night before last sealed up a World Series and gave Shohei Ohtani a ring, which I think is great because now I can go back to rooting against the Dodgers. But Kia, good morning. I think you were like a lot of people. It was really just kind of more about rooting against the Yankees, wasn't it?
Yeah, good morning. Yes. As someone who grew up a Phillies fan and still will root for them, you know, I mostly just hate the Yankees. And, you know, the Dodgers are a team. I live in L.A., so it's fun to see people around me happy about it, and I have no hostility towards them. So, yeah, it's been cool.
Yep. And again, this always blows me away, but I'll ask Kia to repeat it yet again. Whenever I ask him anything about the Anaheim Angels and whether the fans there are happy for Shohei Ohtani, apparently Anaheim may as well be Jacksonville, Florida, for as far as you're concerned.
Yeah. I mean, Anaheim is a different city, like many, many, many miles away, anywhere between a 50-minute and 2.5-hour drive, depending on the time of day and the traffic. And, you know, there's like 8 Anaheim Angels fans in reality, as opposed to millions of Dodgers fans. It is a sad. Listen, Anaheim exists only because of Disneyland. There is nothing there other than Disneyland and their sad sports teams that no one else cares about in the world. And, you know, it's a shame that Mike Trout is rotting away there because Shohei shows what happens if you leave the Anaheim Angels.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. See, I always think of it more like, you know, Waukesha to Milwaukee or Altoona to Eau Claire, but it's nothing like that at all. So, all right, well, baseball chatter out of the way. Let's turn to the main business at hand and what's coming up in just a matter of days here. The main thing this week appears to be just there was already such a contrast of visions between former President Trump and Vice President Harris. And it's just that the divide got so much more stark this week. I think not just that Kamala Harris seems to be really enjoying things here, but if it's possible, Donald Trump seems to enjoy what he's doing even less than before.
Yeah. I mean, he seems to, you know, he's getting up there in age. He's tiring. He's grumpy. And I mean, he's always been, you know, a jerk, but he's, you know, it does not seem to be having the fun he had in 2016, or I suppose in 2020. You know, we saw his, you know, racist fest at Madison Square Garden. We saw him play dress up as a garbage man the other night. You know, him and his allies are spreading all sorts of lies about all sorts of nonsense already. There's not a, you know, single moment of, you know, levity or like attempting to reach across the aisle or reach people who aren't hardcore Trump supporters. And, you know, Kamala Harris, you know, her campaign, we see them going to all the swing states. We see them, their rallies are vibrant. They're fun. Like they're a very different, you know, I've not been to one, but I've covered enough of them remotely or edited videos and stories about them. And my reporters have gone to enough of them that there is a real bubbling enthusiasm that, you know, there is obviously a lot of support for Trump, but it's a much darker, grimmer, less appealing sort of support.
Sure. I mean, the only levity is in the insults. That's where they're getting their laughs and things like that. So, yeah, things could not be more different. But now we get into the matter of voting. And I have not mentioned it on the program here yet. I held off on Wednesday and on Thursday because I wanted to talk about this from a national perspective. And this is the story out of Virginia, where the Republican governor is leading a purge of the voter rolls just days before the election, which a judge said you can't do that. An appeals court said you can't do that. But the 6 right-wing justices on the U.S. Supreme Court said, nah, go for it. And that, you know, that success, quote unquote, in Virginia means we're going to see this kind of monkey business elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, this is a 5-alarm fire if you care about democracy. You know, the Supreme Court, we know it's filled with right-wing hacks, you know, and they basically are allowing the Republican governor of Virginia to purge about 1,600 voters from the voter rolls because of concerns that these people are, you know, ineligible voters and, you know, might be non-citizens. There's no evidence of this. And this is a huge concern because, you know, we're seeing efforts to pursue claims of voter fraud already before the election has happened and votes have been counted. We've seen lawsuits all throughout the year trying to purge voters, trying to claim non-citizens are voting in mass. We've seen sabotage of ballot drop boxes in the Pacific Northwest and in Arizona. We've seen Elon Musk spread all sorts of nonsense. The right is laying the groundwork to challenge the election results if Trump loses. They are trying to purge voters and prevent some of them from voting before the fact. We know for a fact that if he will almost certainly, I would bet any amount of money, no matter what happens, he will preemptively declare victory on Tuesday. Whether he winds up winning or actually losing, he will declare victory. And all of this noise that we've heard for months and year and weeks and months all across the country, that's going to be the fodder for, you know, the right-wing media echo chamber to burble up conspiracies and send people out into the streets, storming, you know, trying to storm polling places just like they did last time. And the fact that the Supreme Court has greenlit in at least one case purging of voter rolls is terrifying, because there is a non-zero chance that this election will wind up with many lawsuits that make their way to them. And I don't know how you look at this court with these six judges on the right and have any faith that they're going to do the right thing.
No, not with any sense of legitimacy or credibility, because this thing in Virginia, for folks who are like, well, they're just doing their due diligence. No. Plenty of U.S. citizens. People, like, there's a one story about a woman from Lynchburg, Virginia, and she's like, I was born in Brooklyn. I'm a citizen. But she missed checking a box someplace on a driver's license or something like that and got thrown into this, you know, pool of suspected non-citizens. We don't stop people from voting for suspected non-citizenry. You crack down on the non-citizens who do vote. Because they're never going to vote in a big enough block to swing an election. And so why would you do this to fellow citizens? Well, you do if you actually don't want them to vote. We heard from Adam Schiff yesterday, the California congressman. He thinks that Mike Johnson is just bluffing when he talks about, you know, having some kind of secret weapon that can help Trump, you know, get certified the winner through Congress. I think it's much more likely that in states like Virginia, like Georgia, you've got elections officials already threatening not to certify the results, even if everything appears to be on the up and up. Definitely not something I thought we would be talking about, Kia, in 2024.
No, it is very concerning. And, you know, it all goes back to Donald Trump. We saw what he did in 2020, and, you know, we were primed to expect a lot more of this in 2022, and then it just didn't happen. We did not see widespread election denial from Republican candidates, with some exceptions. Carrie Lake in Arizona, you know, still claims she won the governor's race even as she runs for Senate now. She did not. She got her clock cleaned because she was a terrible candidate. But by and large, all these other Republicans, even like MAGA types, most of them accepted that they lost. But now, because Trump is on the ballot again, all rationality and logic has gone out the window. And we're seeing the entire MAGA movement, wide swaths of the, you know, what's left of the Republican infrastructure in Congress and at the state level, they're getting ready to challenge results. They're, you know, all behind Donald Trump in this. And that's unacceptable. That's, you can't have a democracy where one party is only going to accept results if they win. That's not a democracy. And so the fact that you have local election officials and Republican office holders already preemptively saying, you know, we're not going to certify, or, you know, North Carolina should give its votes to Trump because, you know, of the hurricane, you know, which is a thing an actual congressman from Maryland said, it's BS, and it's just unreal. And, you know, any person in America, look, if Donald Trump wins, I will be upset. I will not be thrilled. I will also accept it. Anyone who is going to contest results because their candidate did not win an election, I'm sorry, but like, that is just unacceptable to me. Like, you are not a serious person. And that is just a really, that's just a crisis.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do that with zero evidence. Now, in Trump's case, there might actually be evidence if Trump appears to win on the up and up. Yeah, that's, you know, that just gets accepted. You try harder the next time to reach out to people who mysteriously voted for him. And you do have, stalwart Republicans. We talked about State Senator Rob Coles last week at this time. But as I'm looking at some of the national stories that you edit and help file for Courier Newsroom, you've got Jeff Duncan in Georgia, the former lieutenant governor. Again, as conservative a Republican as there is, but who's one of the few very publicly out there saying you have to vote for Kamala Harris because Trump is a danger.
Yeah, I mean, I just, any person with principle in the Republican Party right now who, you know, most of them know better. If you went and polled Republican senators, there's 49 of them. Probably at least half of them know better. I'm not talking the Ted Cruz's of the world. I think Ted Cruz knows better and is just a cynical scumbag. But they know better and they're just allowing it to happen because they're afraid. And, you know, listen, I get it. Donald Trump has, when he sixes supporters on you, something like January 6th happens or you get death threats. But just retire. Don't serve in public office if you're going to fall in line this way. And I would hope there's enough people left in Congress to push back or in the state legislators. There are some. You mentioned the person from Wisconsin. That takes guts, and I respect that because that is something he's going to get a lot of grief for it. But that is the only principled position to take if you're a Republican office holder and you know better.
Yeah. Let's close on a note to reassure folks heading into election night that, again, a lot of people have already voted absentee or early in person, and those will have to be processed along with what is quite likely to be record turnout on Tuesday. And if there's one thing you've studied and I've studied as we look at the process and how things are going to unfold Tuesday, it's to not look for instant gratification one way or another. These are good people counting tens of millions of ballots. And this is going to take time. I'm sure you see it in all the different states that are doing stories about this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the election's going to come down to 7 or 8 states. About half of those states, we can roughly expect results on election night. The other half, like Wisconsin, like Pennsylvania, like Nevada, like Arizona, those may take some time. We've seen Republicans block laws that would allow results to come in sooner. And we know why that is. They want to allow the fertile ground for Trump to claim fraud. But the process takes time because millions of people are voting. Those ballots have to be, if they're cast by mail, have to be opened, unfolded, signatures verified, run through a tabulator, voter registration verified, and only then is it counted. And in a lot of states, none of that can happen till election day. In Wisconsin, none of that can happen till election day. In Pennsylvania, none of that can happen till election day. Nevada and Arizona are largely vote by mail states. So we know that'll take some time to count hundreds of thousands, if not millions of mail ballots. So, you know, I know everyone's going to want to know as soon as possible. I want to know as soon as possible, but there's a chance we're not going to know on Tuesday night. And that just means the process is working. You know, this is a lot of work. And in a lot of countries, it takes several days to report results. It is, you know, only because we live in a 24-hour cable news, you know, atmosphere that people want immediate gratification. But it is okay to wait and not know. Go to sleep early if you're stressed. Like, there's a good chance you're not going to know.
Yeah, be patient that way. And also don't be dissuaded if you're waiting till Tuesday and there are long lines. That's a sign that democracy is working. Just bring your patience, stay in line, cast the vote, let it count. Kiev Akil, we'll be talking to you on election night. I'm sure it'll be lots of fun. Thank you, and get some rest this weekend.
I'll try. You too.
We'll have today's history lesson next. You're up north.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
It was the most embarrassing moment of the Senate debate. Eric Hovde didn't know what was in the farm bill.
I'm not an expert on the farm bill.
Really? 1 out of 9 Wisconsinites work in agriculture. But billionaire California banker Eric Hovde couldn't be bothered to learn about the farm bill. Hovde even said, quote, "Why in God's green earth would I know all the details in the farm bill?" The Wisconsin Farm Bureau has endorsed Tammy Baldwin. She's the first statewide Democrat they've endorsed in over 20 years. The Farm Bureau says Tammy Baldwin has been, quote, "a steadfast advocate for Wisconsin agriculture." They cite her work creating the Dairy Business Innovation Act, which is helping farmers across Wisconsin expand and hire new workers. It's a clear choice. Billionaire California banker Eric Hovde, who doesn't give a damn about farmers, or Tammy Baldwin, who's working hard for us.
I'm Tammy Baldwin, running for Senate, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Tammy Baldwin for Senate.
Kamala Harris gets that everyday costs are too high. She has real plans to tackle price gouging, cut taxes for middle-class families, and make life more affordable. Her opponent's plan?
Donald Trump plans to impose what is, in effect, a national sales tax. On everyday products, it will mean higher prices on just about every one of your daily needs. A Trump tax on gas, a Trump tax on food, a Trump tax on clothing, a Trump tax on over-the-counter medication. Donald Trump's plan would cost a typical family $3,900 a year. When everyday prices are too high, he will make them even higher.
Kamala Harris, a better plan for lowering costs for a future we can afford. Paid for by FFPAC, FFPAC.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. FFPAC's responsible for the content of this advertising.
Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
I wonder if you can still hit that note.
I am going to bet dollars to donuts he can.
Bruce Springsteen had his first number one album on this day in 1980 with The River featuring Hungry Heart, which was a top five hit for him 44 years ago. Welcome to today's history lesson on this first day of November. We get so psyched up about Election Day and Halloween, kind of forget we're changing the calendar to a whole new month. Welcome to November. It definitely feels like it. On this day in 1512, painted by Michelangelo, the Sistine Chapel ceiling was finally unveiled to the public on this day. Have you ever been on a tour of Rome or the Vatican, anything like that?
No, I haven't, but we are looking to possibly go to Europe next year. Mm. We'll see. I don't know. We say it every year.
Mm-hmm.
What about you? Have you?
I have seen the Sistine Chapel as part of a tour that we were taking. And it's funny because they don't want you taking, now this is how many years ago it was. They don't want you taking flash photography. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people can turn those off on their phones, but people are still using cameras. And these poor tour guides or guards or whatever they are there, you're trying to enjoy this work of art on the ceiling, and it really is impressive. But you keep hearing, "No photo! No photo!" as they keep shouting at the tourists. And we're giving them all a stink eye. Like, they said, "No flashes!" And they look at you like, "I don't know how to turn it off." Then don't take the picture. But it was very peaceful, very tranquil.
Yeah, very demure. Very
no photo! Right? The Beatles scored their 13th number one album in the U.S.
Jeez.
With Abbey Road on this day in 1969.
You know, I'm going to say something that's going to sound real dumb.
No, go for it.
I really love the Beatles. Like, there are people out there who like the Beatles. There are people out there who don't like the Beatles. But when I hear, like, an intro like the intro like this, I'm just like, God, it was so good.
Well, that's why I ask you about groups like Oasis. Remember I asked a couple weeks back? Because I'm of an age where, now as a kid, I didn't appreciate the Beatles. It wasn't until I got to college and really started widening my music range and learning more about their history. And I'm like, these guys are so good.
Yeah.
And I don't want to miss that in contemporary times, but it's a little bit tougher. You hear me say it all the time. What are we going to look back on this age as? And I'm not saying they're as big as the Beatles or as good as the Beatles, but who will have the staying power when you can hear a song like that from the Beatles and go, oh, yeah, that holds up? I mean, if you go one decade up, Springsteen. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it would be one. We didn't know in the 70s, but by the 80s, we're like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be around. So I'm always fascinated by this. I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah,
I would honestly just pick up the best of Oasis. Listen to the best of Oasis, and you will hear the Beatles influence from start to finish. Possibly actionable, in my opinion, sometimes. But but it's just good rock and roll music. That's all there is to it.
Sure. Yeah. One of the greats in rock and roll, Jimmy Steinman, the writer, producer, was born this day in 1947. He died 3 years ago. He gave us Meatloaf's Bad Out of Hell, Two Out of Three Ain't Bad, Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart, Air Supply's Making Love Out of Nothing at All, Barry Manilow's Read 'Em and Weep, all these orchestral symphonic rock tunes by Jimmy Steinman. Anthony Kiedis of the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 61 years old today.
Sometimes I feel like my own.
What were you telling me about Anthony Kiedis?
Kind of talking.
He was 61 today.
But his girlfriend's like 22.
She wasn't born when this was a hit, I don't think.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time a rock star dude, like, you know.
I'm tired.
Two words. I'm just. Two words, Bill Wyman, done.
Yeah, no kidding. Ronald Bell of Kool & the Gang was born this day in 1951. He passed away 4 years ago. Lyle Lovett is 66 today. Sophie B. Hawkins is 59 years old today. Elvis Presley, on this day in 1969, had his first number one single in 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you very much.
Where's Elvis for you?
Where's Elvis for me?
Yeah.
Once again, because of, you know, growing up in the 70s, I grew up thinking only of what we would call Fat Elvis.
Yeah.
You know, drug-addled and, you know, just not with it, not hip, not cool.
Yeah.
And it, again, it isn't until later when you kind of expose yourself to the some of the early stuff, you go, oh, okay. Now I get it. I get why he was as big as he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's always been, here's where we get in trouble. He's always been a little bigger than he maybe deserved, but definitely earned everything that he got. He did work hard in the beginning. It was very clear.
Yeah.
He really took those early influences of R&B and others. Mm-hmm. Some would say cultural appropriation, but whatever it was that he did, he definitely made it work. For him.
Yeah.
And so good on him. Beatles, no, not so, you know, he's not at that level for me, but yeah, you know, he's same. Up there.
Same. I feel like as I get older, I'm going to like him more, but he's just not my jam, personally.
Yeah, like there's only a couple of songs. Suspicious Minds is one of them. Yeah. There's only a couple of them that I will definitely listen to all the way through, Kentucky Rain being another one. I don't know how we feel about this. This day after Halloween, it's not just All Saints Day. It's also Deck the Everything Day. When people who feel like they can't put up Christmas decorations before Halloween now feel free to turn it loose. No, people, no.
It's the purge, but for decorations.
There's still Halloween, or there's still Thanksgiving to go through. Let's see. This is Pet Groomer Appreciation Day, Love Your Lawyer Day, Fountain Pen Day, Brush Your Teeth Day because of Halloween candy, and it's a new month. It's Adopt a Senior Pet Month, COPD Awareness Month, Epilepsy, Long-Term Care, Alzheimer's, Military Families, Adoption Month, Diabetes Month, Family Caregivers Month. It's even Manatee Month. Everybody is enjoying a month, and I'm sure the Manatee Month has nothing to do with all the Halloween candy that some of us are going to be eating today. We have a very busy second hour ahead on Up North News Radio, live from Lake Wasota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your new choice. Real news. Great conversation. 540 WAUK.
Maggie Dawn.
Next, I have D.C. Metro Police Officer Daniel Hodges. He was there on January 6th. We discuss... And first congressional district candidate Peter Barca. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it.
How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action. ABWT-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.